Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't with it. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to 79th and Hallis. It has been, well, we had an emergency pod not too long ago, but actual numbered episode, it has been
about
a month?
2 months.
About
2 months.
This is episode 198, for those of you who don't know. We have a rundown for today. Of course, it's going to be based upon the free agencies that have taken, the free agency signings that have taken place with
before
the Bears.
We get to that, can you tell the people why they have not got 79th Presents yet?
It's a lot to fucking edit.
Which we recorded about a fucking month ago.
But it's going to be out this week, just like Detox was supposed to be out.
Allegedly.
But it's going to be out this week. I'm going to stop pushing it back. It's just a lot of stuff to do. I'm a busy man. I'm a busy man. But I always got time to do a regular 79th and Hallis episode. It isn't 2 fucking hours long of editing video. Anyway.
It was your idea, man.
It's a terrible and great idea. You know what? I want to talk about the posts of Bears Twitter. I was added to a Bears Twitter list, and Twitter had like a different section for lists.
You mean a Twitter community?
Oh, I mean a community.
I did not read that shit.
Oh, no, I left it. It was too much. Because I wouldn't even go on it, but I would accidentally click on it, and I would see just hot takes. Oh, first off, Ryan Poles is easily the worst GM we've had. I was like, it's such a rush. There's a rush to crown him. And to discredit him, not because of any particular reason, but because, well, it is a particular reason, but not because of any actual good reason, but it's because one half of the group is so used to, one half of the Bears community is so used to things going to shit that you have to condemn it immediately. If it's not, if your first signing isn't, oh man, Kyler Murray just defected and went to the Bears. If it's something crazy like that, then Ryan Poles failed. And if Ryan Poles were to sign the 5 worst linemen on earth, what other group would be like, well, you know, he's getting some depth right now. He's getting some depth.
We got draft picks. Why couldn't we get Devontae Adams?
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And I'm not understanding that's not how football works. That's not how – part of the GM's job is to be a salesman. You know, you're supposed to sell the team to this person and make it seem worthwhile. In Ryan Pace's case, I don't think he had an issue with selling, but he didn't know who to sell to.
He spent money. He just spent it in the wrong fucking shit.
Exactly. And so there are half people. Eventually, both of those halves came together and said, this nigga sucks. We got to get him out of here. Now we're back. You know, if you're watching, you can visually see me. I'm putting my hands together to say this is how it was when Ryan Pace was, everybody's ready to get rid of him. Now we're back split apart where it's like, fuck him. He's not doing bad at all. When the truth, of course, can be that side, it can be this side, it can go through the middle, it can be all over. And the truth is a little bit murkier, a little bit more, what is the fucking word? It's a little bit more in the middle, and it's not as clear as it seems, and it's
everything
not definitely
isn't black and white.
you call it the gray, what nuance? There we go. It's more nuanced than that. So overall, my thoughts on free agency so far is, you know. Him missing on Larry, Lord have mercy, help me with his last name.
Larry Ogunjobi.
That's unfortunate. You know, you're going to take a risk because of someone coming off surgery. You expect this person who's coming off surgery to be prepared for a physical and be done. That doesn't happen. That just stings.
I want to explain my tweet that everybody killed me for, which I kept up on my page because fuck y'all. What I meant by it was a bad look. People was like, well, how is he supposed to know? What I meant by it was, if you knew somebody was that removed from surgery, maybe you shouldn't have offered that much fucking money to begin with. And on top of that, what I meant by it was a bad look, I never called him a bad GM. I never said it was a bad move. I didn't say any of that. I said it wasn't a bad look. I mean, it wasn't a good look for the beginning of your regime. For your first big free agency signing to fall through.
And that's just the
truth.
No
matter whose fault is that. And that's what I put. And that's when everybody was killing the fucking mentions. So I deleted
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I deleted it off the 79th page and I said it again on my page because ain't nobody gonna do shit on my page.
I ain't gonna do shit on my page either.
They not either, but you was like, yeah, they're killing our mentions.
Oh, yeah, I wanted our mentions to to not be that. So
yeah, and then what I pay you on my page, I'm gonna be more explicit. And yeah. I said, you don't have to always keep his dick in your mouth. And I think what you just said was kind of like the best description of this. And I had like something to like a lesser extent when I was criticizing DeMar for going 1-on-5 in the fucking Knicks game.
Let's go.
What are you fist pumping at?
Guess what I'm looking at? Why would I shake my hand like this?
Was it parlay or something?
You know it.
Okay.
You know it.
On a lesson though, it's like when DeMar was going 1-on-5 against the Knicks, and I said he was a goddamn idiot. Well, he's been saving our teams. I can't criticize him. Both things can't be true. That he been saving the Bulls' ass.
I told Scott earlier I was gonna kick his ass, but I also love him. Both things are true. I will whoop his ass.
The first one is definitely not true.
No, I also love him.
Stop sending these people on this fucking podcast. And so I was like, just because he has been so tremendous for us, we wouldn't be anywhere with DeMar. That don't mean that he don't play like a dickhead from time to time.
True.
So that's what I'm saying with polls. I don't know how to feel about this free agency because I'm like, yes, I appreciate you not going out there and sending $18 million to Christian Kirk. I appreciate you for not doing this. But also, it's like, bruh, who the fuck are we going to – like, you still need a good offensive line, and you need more receivers in this wide receiver room. You lost Allen Robinson, which was expected. I didn't know that Marquise Goodwin was only a one-year deal. He's not on the roster.
No.
And you don't have any – so right now, you've got Darnell Mooney and some random niggas. You got Byron Pringle, which he's –
Darnell and Justin.
Yeah. And Byron Pringle was a decent pickup. He was pretty good in Kansas City. But he's not like a number two. He's like a three or four. So, and what also disturbs me is it's like you've got only six picks.
Yeah.
So what the fuck are you going to do that's going to balance this out? And yes, I understand that, you know, second year quarterback situations. I actually had like a tweet here of what Josh Allen's wide receiver room looked like his second year of his career. I'm just see if I got it right here. Yeah, so in his second year, this is who Russell Wilson had. Russell Wilson threw for 570 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He was sacked 44 times. But his weapons were Marshawn Lynch, Turbin, Miller, Baldwin, Tate, Kirst. This is Josh Allen in his second year. Threw for 3,089 yards with 20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, sacked 38 times with Gore, Singletary, McKenzie, Brown, Beasley, and Knox. And so people was like, no, the rest thing is more impressive to me than Josh Allen only threw for 20 touchdowns. That doesn't make me feel good as a Bears fan if you're thinking this is what Justin should be relying on. So this is his second year. He needs to take a leap. He ain't have to take a massive. I'm not expecting this nigga to be Joe Burrow in the second year, even though that would be awesome. But you still have to protect him, and he has to have people to throw to. As much as I love Darnell Mooney, I've always said I don't think he's a one. Mm-hmm. I think he, on a championship team, he's either a two or a three. On the LA Rams right now, what do you think Mooney is? He's probably the third.
Fifth option.
I'm talking about wide receiver. If you take away Odell, because Odell's technically a free agent.
That's true.
He'd be third option because it would be Cup, it would be A-Rob, then it would be him.
I forgot A-Rob. Yeah.
He would be the third. So it's like on a championship team, he's second third. So if I'm just not confident, I don't like how the room looks now. Now, granted, it's March.
Yeah.
It is when we're recording this is March 30th. We're 2 months away even from what OTAs and shit.
Yeah.
So this room can look a lot different. And I do think there's going to be a lot of late free agency signings. But also it's like, okay, you didn't get that. You didn't get Ryan Bates, which is fine. A lot of Bears fans didn't know who the fuck Ryan Bates was, and all them was acting crazy. It wasn't about the signing. But I'm like, okay, we got to pick some steam up. What are we going to do to fill these rooms? You lost James Daniels. James Daniels wasn't great, but he wasn't bad either.
No.
Who are you using to replace James Daniels? And you're so basically what I'm up to wrap all this up, what I'm trying to say is I'm with you. We'll see. You can't crown them, and you can't get mad at them, but I need to see more results.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything that makes me just so pissed off that I feel, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Nothing has pissed me off.
Yeah.
You know? Nothing has also excited me either. He's getting depth. The offensive line is basically going to be revamped. Probably your only really starters you can depend on to probably be in the mix are – Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borm. Those are going to be your people. I don't even know what's happening with Cody Whitehair. I don't even know the niggas on the team anymore. I'm sure he is.
Yeah, Cody Whitehair still. Remember because Mr. Pace gave him that big-ass contract. So, yes, he's on the fucking team.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's just – it's like right now it's cool with that. The if it's one thing the Bears have struggled with for several years is depth, you know, because players get injured and the next person up stinks, you know. The only time I remember depth working in our favor was Nick Kowalski. I forgot who got injured. I think it was Danny Trevathan. It was a couple of years ago, and he stepped up, and Kowalski was good. I was like, that's depth. He's not a starter, but that's depth.
And then it was like, you should have re-signed him, and now he's not even on the team anymore.
I know.
He's not even on the Raiders anymore.
That being said, it's all about fits, and yes. I thought he fit with the Bears, and for other teams, he didn't. So I'm fine with depth. And, you know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't punt this year for Justin Fields. And it's not that you're punting it. It's also knowing, why would I just start to get – you know, I don't think this is the team to get big splash free agencies just yet. You know, outside of linemen, this is not a team I'm going to get splashy players right now. Like, I don't know if I would pick up an OBJ or I would pick up any big name receiver necessarily.
I mean, Odell will be cheap, but also, you know, he's not coming back to November. He's not going to sign more longer than a 1-year deal. So what's the point?
That's what I'm saying.
If you're a championship team, yeah.
If now and like and even like even getting someone like Devontae Adams, you love him, but how much would it hurt the team to put that big ass?
First of all, Packers not trading him in the fucking division.
No. I'm giving you an example. If you had somebody to, I'm not going to who's actually
it's like a Tyreek Hill or something.
Exactly, but someone who was available or someone who was not being traded but just picked up. If getting them would bankrupt the team or hurt the salary cap, and I know it's the whole salary cap ain't real, but if it would hurt the team, do you want to just go all the way out yet? Or do you want to have a little bit of a feeler? And so it depends, you know. Someone like Devontae Adams is best receiver in the league probably, and you would love him on your team, but it's like you have more needs than getting this just one splash player. And I'm of the ilk that I don't care about names as much as I care about fit.
Yeah.
Will you fit with me offensively? I think Darnell Mooney fits with Justin Fields, and it's clear they have a relationship with another because whenever he's practicing, Darnell Mooney is next to him.
Yeah.
Which means they develop a rapport.
And you've seen them kicking together. They've been bowling together.
Yeah. That was, you know, it was Darnell Mooney's second year. And Justin just finished his first. So they're young. They have a rapport, whereas him and A-Rob never seem to have that rapport. And
that's fine. Also because I feel like A-Rob, he quit on the team. Which is like, that's the thing. I have no problem with A-Rob. Like, my only issue, I feel like he quit on the team. Like, and of course, we will never truly know.
Yeah.
But my personal opinion, I felt he quit on the team. And the reason I say that is I saw A-Rob, even when playing with bum-ass quarterbacks, how active he was in his first three seasons here. Yeah. And it's like – and we was at the games. How many times looked like he just gave up on balls? Now, I'm not – and I'm not saying I do.
But, yeah, I would say – I can't.
It's 50-50. I will say that I do feel like Nagy phased him out the offense a little bit. I will say.
And for what reason, I don't know.
But also there was a little bit of friction. Remember Nagy did the same thing with A-Rob he did with Mitch when he didn't show up either one of their like end of season meetings or whatever the fuck. So yes, that there's also that. But there was times too where it just didn't look like A-Rob to me. And this is my personal opinion. I could be wrong. This is how I feel. I feel he quit on the team. And that left a sour taste in my mouth as a fan.
Yeah.
Not as a media guy, as a fan. I don't have nothing to get personally against the dude. As a fan, yeah. That's how I felt. And I do think he's going to cook in L.A. because he's not going to be the number one option.
Oh, on top of that, if it's
Stafford's the best quarterback he's played with.
Oh, easily. And if it's one thing Stafford needs to succeed, his best ability plays when he has a big target that he can get, you know, that he can get those tough catches. And as much as A-Rob really dropped those this year, you know, his first couple of seasons with Chicago, he was the man for big catches.
Yeah.
He constantly, even some of Justin Fields' toughest throws this year, A-Rob caught.
That one game.
You know, where Justin rolled out to the right and threw just a dart to the side, and you literally had a millisecond to get get the foot down and the other foot dragging. A-Rob did it. A-Rob was going to make those good catches. And this time, you're not going to depend on him for that. Cooper Kupp will be that first person. But you need to make those tough catches. A-Rob is next. So, I don't know if he quit on the team. I have no clue. I tend to not assume like that. But it's also quitting on the team. The only thing that only way we'll know the truth is if he told us or if God came down.
As I said, it's just my opinion. So I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's just speculation. And we all speculate on everything. So you know, right now I'm of the ilk that you don't want to hold on to the money for the sake of we can get something better down the line or something else will happen. You don't want to assume something else will happen, but you also want to blow the money just because you have a big name. Chicago has made big name free agency splashes for several years. You know, it probably started with Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, that's probably unfortunately with the Bears, that was the big free agent splash for us. It was Brandon Marshall first. Who came first? Him or Brandon Marshall? I don't even remember.
Cutler was 3 years before Brandon.
And then Brandon Marshall came. And then Brandon Marshall, that was like huge. One of the top five wide receivers in the league at that time.
Bears were like wide receiver hell before B. Marsh came in.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And B. Marsh was incredible the first two seasons with the Bears.
It was incredible his whole fucking time, man. He was the reason that fucking Pace traded him because he thought he was a head case, which he was. But that's what Pace rubbed me the wrong way right away when he traded my boy Brandon Marshall. Now, and the thing is, we can sit up here and talk about what Poles is doing. We also got to put like this. And if anybody's been watching Winning Time on HBO, it's like when Jerry Buss, when he bought the Lakers, the past owner had the firm so much in debt that he sold it and left the bill to Jerry Buss. So now Jerry Buss has got to deal with a team that in the early 80s, remember the NBA was sinking. He's dealing with that and the fact that he's got a arena that's knee in debt, all the way in debt. And so with Ryan Poles, knee deep in debt. With Ryan Poles, he's inheriting a fucking mess from the past GM who fucked it up for the last 7 years. He has no picks. He has no money.
Nope.
And the good guys that Pace did get, you got to let them walk because you got no fucking resources.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is where, you know, I don't envy Ryan Poles. I don't know how capable he is. I think the only thing that I will give the Bears is I think the recruiting process was good. Yeah. I think it was a good recruiting process for him and Eberflus. I think those were good recruiting processes. But right now, he has to sure improve, but I'm not going to rush to judge him, and I'm not going to rush to crown him. I'm going to just see what I see so far. I mean, we might as well just look at the list of free agency signings. Like, I think we'll just go over the offensive linemen. And right now, Lucas Patrick and Dakota Dozier were his two picks that he picked up. And I think, of course, out of those, the first thing that comes up is Lucas Patrick. And Lucas was how long was he with the Packers?
A couple years. He was starting,
He'd been in the league since like 2011. No, I'm tweaking. 2016, something like that. But he started at guard for them the past two seasons.
Okay.
And this is someone who did not start him again in his career. And I think it's someone who is a good, really solid depth or starter for us. I'm assuming starter for the Bears, not for us, but for them. I'm assuming it's starter for the Bears. And really that's what the biggest thing you see about Lucas Patrick is the mere fact that he cares about his quarterback. And that when he's on the field, he's there to bring that nastiness that when Herb Powder, the Bigs mentioned that to Sam Mustipher during training camp, and they had no answer. After Herb asked that and Sam Mustipher went, Herb turned around, and I think it was Jason Leisure and Kevin Fishbane and me, and we all just look like, what? How do you not know who's the nasty one on your team? That ain't good.
Yeah.
And so now you have him and Tevin Jenkins as the nastiest. People may think it's not an important aspect of football, but it is an important aspect of football. It is a huge aspect of football to be nasty when you're on the field. I remember when here goes coach music. I remember when I played Bolingbrook when I was in high school, and our coach, I forgot our coach's name. He was our defensive coach. He was like 6'9". And he looked at us and said, their right guard is the nastiest fucking player I've ever seen play a high school game. We said, what? And it looked on the tape, and I've never seen a high schooler bulldoze this many people. And I was like, damn. And Steve, my homie Steve, had to go against him. And this dude was all state. And Steve had to hold his own, but Steve said, that motherfucker's nasty. And it just makes it effect. When you know the offensive lineman in front of you is coming there to hurt you, you know, of course, in the football terms, you're going to be like, damn. And then that motivates the rest of the team. So Lucas Patrick, I think, was the biggest signing for me outside of probably Trevor Siemian. You need good backup. And there's one thing that the Bears have always had to deal with the past few years is the backup going to get some tick, unfortunately. And so I thought Trevor Siemian was a very good pickup for backup.
Yeah, looking at the rundown, the good thing about what we're doing right, it's like we putting all the topics in one conversation right now, which is good. So it's not really like a layered rundown. It's an off-season pod, so not longer than 30 minutes. But my favorite, I love the Trevor Siemian signing too, because because you know, like I said, he did really good in Jameis's absence last year. And kept the Saints in that wild card hunt really to the last week. Remember, they won their last game and only lost, only didn't get in because somebody lost.
I've been watching Trevor Siemian since he was at Northwestern. And I remember they ran a weird system where it was running, it was Fitzpatrick, the head coach. I forgot Fitzpatrick's first name. Let's call him Coach Fitzpatrick, Coach Fitz. He ran a two quarterback system, and Trevor Siemian was the clear better player out of them. But I said, man, Trevor Siemian does not go away.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly happy with them getting a good backup. And in today's NFL, folks get injured.
Backups are going to play, as we saw last year. Justin got hurt. Yeah. Justin only got really 9.5 starts.
Yeah.
Because remember, he got injured in that Baltimore game. Yep. When we was at that game, the game that me, you, and Herb was like, we just couldn't wait for that game to be over. We was actually laughing when
Dan Persa, that's the guy. Yeah. Dan Persa, Kane Coulter. Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to look up that the one he played with. He ended up earning the time. Yeah, there we go. All right.
So it's like, so I would say Trevor Siemian. I love the Byron Pringle pickup too, because he's, you know, watching a lot of Chiefs games because they're always on fucking national TV. Yeah. He's one of them speed threats for Pat. You know, he had like 600 yards receiving last year. He had like 5 or 6 touchdowns. He was an end zone threat, and he was a guy who could get loose on you. And I think that's gonna help with this core, you know. And if you can get you one of them stud receivers, and the Bears will get a receiver in the draft, like I think that's gonna be the first pick, because it's a 5-7 deep wide receiver draft. Yes, we all want Chris Olave. Do I think he's gonna be there when it's time for his trade? Hell no. Mm-hmm. I think Olave is going in the first round, and as much as I want Olave, this is too heavy of a wide receiver draft for you to be trading up. Yeah. In my personal opinion, I don't think there's a what's my man on the Bengals, they receiver. What's my man? I'm drawing blanks today, man. They number one receiver, the great. We really don't know his name. let's see.
Play with Joe Burrow, LSU.
Yeah.
God, I hate when I have something on the tip of my tongue and I can't think.
I can see it. Jamar Chase.
I was not even clue. I'm about to say something like Lester. I don't know. I'm completely off.
So I don't think there's a Jamar Chase in this draft. And if there is, I don't think he's going to have the impact that Jamar had right away. So as much as I want Olave,
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave are the two best receivers in the draft.
I think Wilson is better than Olave. But
Wilson has a better career than Olave. But what Olave has, I think, is just that greatness, that his ability to understand and have a relationship with quarterbacks, knowing where to be up or knowing to get. I think his IQ is better than IQ. IQ really sounds really racist for some odd reason. I hate saying football IQ. His football IQ is really the awareness.
It only sounds racist because when you say it in football, it sounds bad. If you say it in basketball,
this white man know better than that black man.
No, if you say it in basketball, Zach LaVine basketball IQ stinks. Like it don't sound as bad as it do in football.
I just think Chris Olave's football awareness is just a little bit higher than Garrett Wilson's. I think Garrett Wilson has more raw talent, and Garrett Wilson has made the tougher catches.
So would you trade up for one of them?
I would. But I wouldn't trade up too much.
Okay.
You know, I trade myself into the 20s in the first round. Garrett Wilson's probably going to be gone in the first 15. I'm thinking Chris Olave falls to the late first round, if not early second round. I would put myself in the position to get in that, but I would be very careful with how I did it. You know, a lot of these trades they had to release. I would have probably found a way to try to get something, but you're not getting a first round back for Eddie Goldman. You ain't getting a first round back for anybody else. Is Bilal Nichols even here anymore?
No, he gone. He signed with the Raiders.
You know, you're not getting nothing back for those two. Well, he was a free agent, but you're not getting back for any of the Bears players for a first round pick. You'd have to have some sort of package. And, you know, it is what it is.
But, you know, it's another signing I like. I love the Quadeen Muhammad sign. He's one of the defensive linemen out there in Indy. Played in Flusa's system. Last year, he had 6 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's going to be, you know, you can never have enough pass rushers. And I don't know if you listened to or saw Poles and Flus's interviews at the owners meetings in Florida this week. And it's first time we heard him speak since the opening press conference that you was at. And it sounds like they really going to not build it around, but like he said, basically, Poles basically said they're not trading Robert Quinn and they're going to like build off what he's doing right now. You got Quinn and you got Muhammad, you got other defenders. That's going to really help on. And I really don't, I'm not worried about this defense. I know, I don't think this defense isn't as flashy as before, but we had all these flashy names the last 3 years and they ain't been dominant in 3 years any damn way. So I think you got, it's going to be a lot of guys that, you know, who Chicago fans, like what they say, the hard hat lunch pill type niggas, you're going to see some of them. And you got Nicholas Morrow. Flu said that, you know, there's going to be – he's not saying he's going to be starting next to Roquan. They don't really know that yet. Bobby Wagner's still out there. And that's the thing what I'm saying about, like, I would sign Bobby Wagner. The Bears have money. Go fucking sign him. Pair him up with fucking Roquan.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you haven't spent anything. I would grab Bobby Wagner, and I would go grab my man Honey Badger. And then go draft a cornerback number two in the draft to go head and head with Jalen. There you go.
I would get Bobby Wagner. I mean, he was like a second team all pro last year. He probably has. I'm not getting Honey Badger. I don't really see a need to.
He'd be cheap and he's a better option than fucking what's his face? Gibson.
I'm not sure how. I don't know. I'm really of the ilk of draft. See what you get. Get more picks. But since they don't have picks, Bobby Wagner is somebody that will get. I'm really not sure why they released him unless it was just for cap relief. But
well,
Bobby
Wagner, he has to get released after the Russ trade.
Well, that makes sense because you know that's rebuilding.
Yeah, you know what time it is.
Yeah. So I don't. Bobby Wagner's fine. Honey Badger, I'm not really intrigued by. But I think the Bears right now in that position where you just have to – sorry, my dog is just came in. The Bears in a position right now, I think the best thing you can do is focus on the draft, getting that young talent, signing what you need to sign, and then finding out these holes that you need to fill as time goes on. And I don't think you do that in an offseason. I just don't think that happens. When you're almost tearing down the entire team to build it back up, it ain't an offseason type thing. You said, oh, you don't want to punt a player. You know, it's not that you're punting. You're understanding with the situation that you're in. The situation that you're in calls for you to take your time. You know, and it's happened with almost every single quarterback in history. Teams have to retool. And retooling, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be a contender. That's the sad reality and the sad truth. You may not want to hear it, but I think Bears fans are like every fan and like every people, human being. We're anxious to get this to happen. We want this to happen.
And that's fair to be anxious, but with the thing that annoys me, which Bears fans, you know what, I've come to a conclusion, not just Bears fans, Chicago sports fans in general. And this might be just sports fans in general. But since we deal with Chicago sports fans, this is the only real interaction we have. They're just all kind of crazy. Like Bulls fans are OC, like White Sox fans are the most pessimistic.
Y'all niggas
people.
Be getting pissed off with the Bulls losing, even though you know these niggas.
No, I got pissed off losing the bum teams. I don't give a fuck about us getting our head cracked in by Milwaukee because I never thought we was on that fucking level to fucking begin with. Yeah. You shouldn't be losing to the goddamn Pelicans and the fucking New York Knickerbockers and the Sacramento Kings when you fighting for playoff position. That's what I have a problem with. But this is not third pick and I don't want to rant. So my thing is like, what did we say all season? How many times Bears fans say, oh, I can't wait till the season over. We're not one or two players away. So obviously, by knowing that, you know that this process is going to take a minute. And there's no rush. The NFC is a JV league. Let's just keep it. The Bears won six games last year, and they tricked off, what, four or five of them?
Mm-hmm.
Bears easily tricked off four or five wins last year. Yeah. So if you take this team – of course, there's going to be more additions to it. There's like mad rosters. This is going to be a different team by the time we report to Hallis Hall for training camp. It's going to be a different team. But you might luck up in the eight wins just because how bad the damn conference is.
Yeah.
And if you look at the list, I think Adam Hoge tweeted out the list of the quarterbacks that they're going to be playing this year. You play Rodgers twice a year, which is obvious.
Yeah.
You play my man Josh Allen. I think there's one other elite quarterback we play. Rest of them niggas, scrubs. The NFC is a wasteland. So you might luck up into 8-9 wins and I mean, look, who the seventh seed in the NFC might be under 500. Like, honestly, yeah,
well,
like, so you never know. We might look here, and the Bears might be a seventh seed. I'm not saying that I'm expecting that. I'm not saying that you should hope or expect that. I'm just saying, with as bad as the NFC is, I don't think there's in a rush to do anything. Your only goal should be, let's see what we get from Justin this year. We got all the money in the cap. Next year, we go make a crazy swing. Aaron Rodgers, even though he has a four-year deal, he's not going to be here all 4 years. I think he has a year or two left in him, and he's going to leave.
Yeah.
So when he leaves, then it's time for you to strike. Okay, yeah, now we're ready. We know what we got in Justin. We've got this team. Now it's time to finally begin our dominance of the NFC North.
Yeah, I'm especially with the fact that the Lions have no vision, the Vikings have no vision, the Packers have.
I would take a finance class hosted by Kirk Cousins and Chase Daniel. Those two gentlemen are elite bag getters.
And the Packers don't have a vision. No. The only thing you said, Packers, is if you dominate, you've dominated a visionless division. And so right now is the time for you to. It's like a nuclear arms race.
Stay low and build. What's the phrase? Stay low and build.
It's like with the U.S. At the end of the Cold War, what happened? It was a fall of the Soviet Union, where the U.S. became the sole superpower at the time. Not anymore, but the sole superpower at the time. And these people were vying for one and two. Of course, we knew that the Soviet Union could never financially compete with the U.S., but they were both superpowers because they both had a big nuclear stockpile. Right now, it is almost like the opposite, where the Packers are dominating right now, but the U.S. is building up there. Oh, so right now, what do we think? China is another superpower. And during the Cold War, China slowly built up its economy. It slowly built up its nuclear arsenal. And that's what the Bears should be doing. Right now, it's a Cold War between the Packers and their between the Packers players and the GMs who doesn't know what he's doing in terms of actually getting a vision and getting people around.
They brought Rodgers back, though, to Geronimo Allison.
Exactly.
And I know, so, a lot of people out there like, don't laugh, he might get Chris Olave. That's cool, but also he's a rookie. A rookie, and Rodgers is trying to win a championship.
Exactly. So right now you have that happening. And right now the Bears should just build up their arms, build up their team. And as that happens, you get to evaluate, can this player stay here? Can this player stay here? Is Justin that guy? And if Justin is that guy, everything else opens up. If Justin is that dude, then it's the run already starts. You're a contender. And then you say, okay, here's what I need to get. And if you, and on top of that, I think one of the biggest things you'll see is in training camp, which I can't wait for, which I suggest you come to the city.
My plan is to be in August for the entire month.
Bruh. And we're going to be hitting the training camp every single day. We ain't got to wait in line. We can walk past the fans like, hi, how you doing? Press pass. And let's hope Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus stay on field A, so I don't have to walk a mile to the Walter Payton Center.
Well, you know, I walk.
It's not a mile. I know. I'm a big nigga. I walk 5 miles. I'm still fat, and it sucks. So right now, it's just be patient, man.
It's March, man.
And guess what? Here's the sad reality. Justin Fields could be shit. Ryan Pace could be terrible. Matt Eberflus could be terrible. And we could be back here 4 years from now. Yep. It might happen. Just understand that. Keep the stark possible reality in the back of your mind, and then look forward, hopefully, or look forward pragmatically. Look forward with the evidence you're given. Say, okay. And right now, I don't think you have a reason to be ultra excited or eat your ultra down for. I mean, ultra down. Right now, it's just let it play out. If that Bengals signing happened, I think I would probably be on them. Okay. That would be my reading. All right. Now it's like, you know, the biggest signings were Trevor Siemian and Lucas Patrick. The rest were just depth. Equanimeous St. Brown was bounced off and on the practice squad. I think his best year is his first year. But they had, Aaron Rodgers throws to anybody. And so they bounced around with who they wanted, even though I thought probably been better to throw to Brown than to throw to Randall Cobb. It was a waste. So just give it time. But there's no reason to panic. And there's no reason to go into that stupid mode where you have to praise everything they do like this. I'm Tyler. Come on, Pose. Come on, Eberflus. Let's see you make a trade. Let's see you give somebody in the
These draft. Motherfuckers are getting paid millions of fucking dollars, man.
Hey, you don't have to be. What the fuck was that? That wasn't Devontae Adams.
Flus drove down a fucking G-Wagon from fucking Indianapolis to Chicago. He is fine.
He's fine. Driving that in a G-Wagon, which does not have good gas mileage.
Yeah.
And then,
which isn't a long drive. What's Indianapolis to Lake Forest? Probably what, 45 minutes?
2 hours.
Damn, that far?
Yeah, 3 hours.
Indianapolis to Lake Forest? Okay. Yeah.
You know, let's look at miles per gallon. We 18 city 23 highway. Doo doo.
We'll get a pie only on our podcast.
My 2004 Volvo gets that mileage. So,
yeah. I don't have any miles because I don't have a car.
I wouldn't have one in LA either, nigga. So,
no, I want one. I wish. Well, actually, I don't know, nigga. Gas for my house is $6.19. So, yeah, probably not. But anyway,
it's coming back down. It's $4.22.
Nigga, people over here would kill for $4.22.
I know.
It's literally $6.19.
Willie Wilson, shout out to him, man. He nigga ain't never gonna become mayor, but he opened up free. He bought gas.
He could have gave niggas gas cars though.
Probably could have.
Yeah, niggas.
But at the same time, he handed out a free tank for everybody who came. That's dope.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to him.
I think that's all we got for y'all today.
Ain't nothing else to talk about.
Nothing else to talk about. Just wanted to get y'all a little pot. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do next time you'll hear from us will be a draft recap pod.
79th Hottest Presents. It's going to come out this week. Allegedly. I promise to you.
Look, I've given up. I've given it to God. I've even stopped texting you about it.
It's, man, it's just, you know. I talk about mental health all the time.
Joe has been doing a lot of stuff. Joe is the engineering force behind Barbershop.
And also, I'm dealing with anxiety increasing. You know, people who are diagnosed with anxiety like me, you know, you go through seasons. And right now, I'm in a high anxiety season. Like, I almost could not do this episode today just because I was dealing with the palpitations, being afraid. I pushed through it. So sometimes it's not easy to sit in front of a computer. You almost want to just do nothing. And for those people who deal with depression, you know, you're unmotivated. And so it's tough. And so I'm hoping I have enough, you know, because this week I have done nothing. I worked from home. I didn't go to work today. I took off and went to and edited the video for my school at home. So I was just chilling. And so just, you know, bear with me. But I think once we get the ball rolling and we get that done,
right,
then we'll get into a rhythm and then we'll do it. And then it won't be
nothing. We're going to have more off-season content, man. Don't worry about it. We're working on some things.
That being said, we'd be filling that Patreon up.
Yes, so. The Patreon be going crazy. And I know it's going crazy because I ain't seen we getting close to the first and I ain't seen the subscriptions leaving. Because some of y'all ain't low. A lot of y'all be unsubscribing. Couple days for payday, y'all not low, but we've been keeping up on them. You know, used to more people with anxiety, people like me who are so schedule planned. Sometimes thing doesn't go your way, and I'm a good adjuster. I just need to know what the fuck is going on.
Are you sure about that?
I'm a better adjuster than I used to be. Better adjuster than I used to be. So it's like we're working on.
My mother are the same person. They do not adjust as well. It's me and my father do.
Yeah, mom stresses well. Mom stresses way more than I do.
Yes, she does.
I don't stress on things.
Oh yeah, mom told me to tell you she doesn't love you anymore.
Okay, that's fine.
She says I'm the best child now.
Yeah, I know she didn't say that. Yeah. Me and mom had the 1988 connection when it was just the big three.
The big one, nigga, fat ass. So pretty soon I'm not gonna be able to call you fat anymore.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna
be the sole fat sibling. I've been back for a week walking. I'm getting up there. I'm doing a mile and a half, nigga. I couldn't do a block a month and a half ago. So when I start shedding these pounds and I start getting sexy, my boy, I won't hit nothing.
Hey, man, good for you. I used to walk down the street like my back would flare up,
man.
Before I get like a half block down. Now, nigga, I can walk.
Scotty Pippen back spasms. Be like,
yeah, like dead ass. Remember we was at the White Sox game last year?
Oh,
it took us three innings.
That's what all of us.
That was my wake up call right
there. That was it. I literally started going to the gym. The only reason I stopped is because the pandemic happened and the gym started saying, well, nigga, you don't have to do this. You have to do this. And I'm like, I don't know if I should be around these people. But I had lost about 40 because I was like, I'm not doing that again.
Well, so, even when I wasn't in the gym, I was walking about 6 miles a week. I was doing in-house workouts.
Yeah.
Now I'm about 54 pounds down.
Fuck it. So incredible.
And I've been eating. I'm eating steak and green beans tonight for dinner. That's why I was so aggy. I was supposed to eat by now because it's almost 7 o'clock, and we still got another podcast record for y'all because we keep giving y'all content.
I made homemade lasagna. It was pretty great. I made the sauce too. Keep the sodium down. You can make your favorite foods. Just make it yourself. If you want pizza, get skim mozzarella. Tone down the sodium. You don't need that much salt on pizza sauce. You really don't.
There's a brand of pizza that I ordered from Amazon Fresh. I need to look what the name is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna say it because they need to pay me. But It's very good where it has a piece of taste, but it's not like a lot of heavy calories in it.
Some people do cauliflower crust. They're heathens and they're not going to heaven.
And take your cheat meal that take your cheat meals, bro, and go fucking insane. I be having the rock type. You know what my fucking cheat meal gonna be this week? I'm finna get me a box from Popeyes, nigga, with Chinese food. I'm gonna go fucking crazy.
I'm like there's this thing called efficient macros. I think it's kind of incomplete. And macros being your carbohydrates, your proteins, and your fats. I think those are macronutrients. I'm not of that ilk. I think your fats are not as important. Your protein is important. Your carbs ain't as important as people make them. But I think your sodium. I think your sodium and your sugar intake is one of the most important things to get, because Black people deal with high blood pressure. More
alcohol.
Yeah.
Alcohol, bro. Dead ass. 2 weeks ago, I only had 3 glasses of wine, because if you go to Pavy House, it's like literally impossible for you. You know, he's a part of a wine club. We'll talk about this on some session. Hilarious. He's a wine club now. So hilarious. Like I had 3 glasses of wine. I shit you not, I gained like 2 pounds just because I had that. So alcohol does a lot too. Only on here when you hear about the Bears and health tips.
Yeah, also it's gonna be another chat with big folks and be recorded tomorrow.
Very good episode.
People told me it was beautiful, and that I cried. I'm a crybaby, so when you hear I cry, it's nothing. It's not, bro. I've watched this show called Kotaro Lives Alone. It's an anime on Netflix. I just cried my eyes out for the past couple hours. So, yeah. But anyway, thank you all for listening to 7th and Hallis, episode 198.
Yeah, man.
You know, for those of you who pray, for those of you who are religious, pray that, you know, I deal with the anxiety better and we can get this stuff more rolling. Because, you know, everybody needs love. Everybody needs kindness in the world. So thank you all for listening. We will catch you all whenever we catch you.
After the drive.
Peace.